You know, when I was young, Mom came home with one of those little variety packs of little, and I thought, man, Mom and Dad are doing great. They must have a couple bucks in their pocket. Remember the variety packs of little, cereals? You know, and there was always one or two you didn't like. Nobody liked the Raisin Bran, the much as what they liked the Fruit Loops or the whatever. But remember that? And then as kids, you'd just fight over which one got the Fruit Loops versus which one got the Rice Krispies. Well, that's what today's show is. It's a variety pack. We're going to have a whole lot of things we're going to talk about today. Some you might like, some you might not. We're going to visit in a little bit by Senator Judy Lee. Judy's very passionate about and spot on right about how North Dakota leads the way in allowing you to get rid of some of your medicines and how you deal with medicines. And so Senator Lee has long been chairman of the North Dakota Senate Health and Human Services Committee. And as she was talking to me about this issue, I started thinking about, wow, you know, the other day I ran into two pills, not being a pharmacist, that I couldn't remember what they even were. I knew they weren't pain pills. And then finally I went to my wife, who's an RN. I said, what is this about? And she goes, oh, well, that was, you had to take those prior to going to the dentist, because now that you have a prosthetic knee, if you have any dental work done, they require you to take these, so you can't get an infection type pills. Well, there they sat. I didn't go to the dentist. And then when I went back to the dentist, they had got me some other pills. And so now what do I do with these? It's those kind of, you know, and talk about OxyContin. When I was in really bad pain on my back, did I have some? Yeah. How did I dispose of those? Well, I gave them to Sue in the end because I didn't want them around the house. And Sue had a way of getting rid of them. I mean, she knew the proper way, being a medical professional, to do that. And so we're going to visit with Judy Lee about for you, how you deal with that today. Also, Ed Schultz is going to join us after the bottom of the hour. The Tea Party is going after, and you can check it out in the USA Today. Today, I love saying that. You can check it out in the USA Today. And they're pointing out how they're going to go after this farm bill. The president has made this a priority, and they're going to go after this farm bill. And so we'll talk to Ed Schultz about that, who plays much more on a national scene than what I do. But Wilma Subra is a chemist and a president of the Subra Company based in New, I'm going to let her say what her company does, but it's in Louisiana. I absolutely know that. And she's going to be coming to North Dakota to speak. Wilma, good to have you on News and Views.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me where your company is based, Wilma.
I am in New Iberia, Louisiana.
Okay, where is New Iberia?
It's about 3 hours west of New Orleans.
Okay, and you're going to speak this Saturday at the 36th Annual Meeting of the Dakota Resource Council. What's this all about, Wilma?
I will be talking about the environmental and health impacts that are resulting with the shale oil and gas development, and giving examples of what has happened in other areas and what is happening in the North Dakota area as well.
And what concerns come to mind about North Dakota?
The exposure to the chemicals that are used in the drilling process and in the hydrofracking process, and how they are handled before, during, and after, and the exposure to the people in the area that live around there, as well as the workers, and the health impacts that we have observed and how they correlate to the health impacts associated with the chemicals that have been documented as being released.
Wilma, have you or anyone else at the Subra Company taken a look at how North Dakota deals with all these issues? How do we grade, in your opinion?
You have some good regulations on the books. You have others that are lacking. And as part of what I do, I go into states and review state programs. And we go in as a multi-stakeholder process, the industry, the state regulators, and the environmental community. And we have not yet been invited to review the regulations in North Dakota specific to the hydraulic fracturing issues. But we have looked at those regulations over time. And frequently we find that there are regulations on the books, but they're not enforced. There are not enough enforcement specialists out in the field doing the enforcement, or even if they find violations, they write them up, and then nothing happens, and there's not enough inspectors out in the field to be documenting the violations, which then result in damage to the environment as well as damage to human health.
Give me an example of where you think North Dakota is laxing.
Not having enough people out in the field to actually observe the fracking process when it occurs, and then the drilling process, and then the completion process, and the production process, the emissions from, like, the tanks that store the crude oil, those emissions are released into the air, very, very toxic to all the people in the area around there.
Okay. And that's going to be the subject of your talk in I think it's Dickinson. Yes, it's Dickinson on Saturday. Is anyone welcome to this, Wilma, or how is it being treated? Do you have to pay a membership to come in, or how can you go?
No, actually, I'm speaking at 3:40 in the afternoon. So in the morning, the organization will be having that meeting, but in the afternoon when I speak, it will be open to the public.
Okay.
So we are inviting anyone who is interested in the situation to come.
Now, Wilma, when you look at other states, North Dakota has become one of the leading oil-producing states in the country. And obviously there's good and bad that comes with that. But if you look at how the state has reacted, I think people from both sides of the aisle would say that it's primarily been positive. When you talk to people who live locally there and you get them alone, I get a much different reaction from some of them. You know, they don't want to come out publicly, Wilma, and say, you know, I just want my old life back. I want life when the township road didn't have this many trucks on it. And you know what I'm getting at.
Right.
Do you see that in other states that you go to?
I see that in every other state that I go in. There's a real reluctance to speak out. They think they're the only ones suffering. And then when they start talking to their neighbors, they realize there is a whole host of people suffering. But there's always that reluctance because it is the economic impact that it's having on the area. They feel if they speak out, they're going to be criticized.
Interesting. Really interesting. I always wonder if, in knowing that the industry is here and knowing that, you know, there is good that comes with the industry, but I always wonder and worry whether or not the people are being looked after that really don't have a voice to talk about some of the other issues. So I'm glad someone like you, there's going to be many people that are going to criticize what you're about to come to North Dakota and say. The word regulation is a dirty word in North Dakota, and my suspicion is it's the same in other states you visit.
That's correct. Absolutely. And you also may be interested why I'm really interested in what's going on in North Dakota, and it is that y'all are shipping a huge quantity of that crude oil down to the Gulf Coast and down to Louisiana. We have train unloading loops where you're shipping trains on a constant basis, and they are using that crude to fuel the refineries along the Gulf Coast in Louisiana and in Texas, where they used to use Venezuelan sour crude. They can get North Dakota crude cheaper, even counting the shipping. And so it's changing the whole environment in Louisiana as well as in North Dakota.
Wilma, are you or your group a supporter of the Keystone Pipeline Project?
I deal with the situations that it will create, and then I also give speeches about what the local emergency planning commission need to address as it comes through their area and being prepared for events.
But you didn't answer my question, Wilma. I mean, to me, you who has to evaluate the good, the bad of all of this and give recommendations to people, I'm really curious. I mean, is in your opinion, do you think that we would be safer knowing that there's risk incurred either way with a big pipeline like Keystone or with moving it by rail?
Well, looking at the pipelines and all the pipeline leaks and spills that have been occurring over the years, and then looking at the train transportation that's going on and the train derailments that are occurring, and again being on the receiving end of a lot of the Canadian crude that's shipped down to the Gulf Coast, and then from the Gulf Coast is shipped internationally. Those are all issues that we need to have full information on before we make decisions.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't have that. opportunity for full information.
I want to welcome you to North Dakota. I think every side needs to be heard on every concern. I know you're going to be speaking on Saturday, October 26th, at the Heart River Retreat Center. That's at 2475 West Broadway in Dickinson, North Dakota, and that is at 3:40 p.m. Mountain Time, which, if my math is right, that makes it at 2:40 my time. So, no, wait a second, Wilma. I'm testing you there. I'm testing you there. All right. Wilma, welcome to North Dakota, and go get some birds while you're out there. Go pheasant hunting, okay? Good to talk
to you.
Yep.